T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is 9 minutes after 5 o'clock. I'm Jordana Green, sitting next to Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, and it's been 2 hours. All right, you can do the third,
you can
right?
Kick me out at any time, Jordana.
He hasn't just thrown his papers in the air and said, "I can't take this anymore." So thank you for hanging with me.
I'm delighted to do it, and I'm looking forward to the last hour.
It's really fun to have you here because we have learned so much about the governor that you did not know about bathroom breaks during presidential debates. I mean, we have learned a lot, and you're going to be with me again tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow, 3 to 6 on Friday. And so, but Paul Douglas is away, and I'm filling in for him. And of course, nobody can really substitute in for Paul, but I'll try my best.
You're a kind man. Yeah. Yes, and we miss Paul, of course. But before we get into this story, we do want to talk about parents not being prepared for the finances that they have to expend when they have a new child, and a sales tax holiday for back to school goods. Just remind us what you've been up to. We know you were a lobbyist in Washington for a while, and then you've been just, you know, doing what? A lot of Netflix.
Well, for people who watch politics. Well, you know,
he said he's off Twitter, he's off Facebook. he's going off the grid.
Yeah, I haven't tweeted or anything. But, you know, the short story is I came back to Minnesota. Of course, I was commuting. So even when I was working in Washington, I'd come back mostly on Thursday nights and go back to Washington on Sunday nights. And Mary and I still have kept our house here and lived here my whole life. So not that part hasn't changed. But what has changed, I tried to make a political comeback last year, got beat in the Republican primary. So I tell people I didn't quit. I got knocked out. And that's been, you know, liberating in a lot of ways. I still serve on some corporate boards, and I enjoy that work. And otherwise, I broke my shoulder. I was rollerblading a month or so ago. Yeah, people have two reactions to this. One is, you know, who the heck rollerblades anymore? It was like in the 80s people did that. And two is, aren't you a little old for that?
Oh. Like, ouch. And then you smack them when they say that.
That's true. All of it's true. Anyhow.
Although you did fall and break your shoulder. So now you're thinking, oh boy, I guess no more rollerblades.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot and enjoying life and summer. And Mary and I get to spend a ton of time together, which we both love. And hopefully she loves it too. I think she does. And that's different because I've been so busy for so long with so many things. Having a little breathing space has been wonderful.
When you came in the studio first and you said hi to Chad, who was finishing his show, he said, "Boy, Gov, you got out at the right time." And I know you said you were kicked out. But looking now at the landscape of politics, would you want to be back in that game?
Well, I tried just less than a year ago. So yeah. I suppose the honest answer to that is, you know, yes. But things have changed. And I don't know that I'm, you know, in a world where this is now, you know, hysterical on both sides. And you know, if you are interested in public policy, if you're interested in a thoughtful discussion, there's just less space for that than there used to be. And if you're interested in trying to get something done as opposed to just total annihilation or total victory on one side or the other, you know, that's not rewarded anymore. I mean, compromise is viewed as a dirty word. You know, being a pragmatist is viewed as a dirty word in politics. People want their side to prevail, you know, total victory. And the two sides in you know, are, as you can see in some of the rhetoric, it's just getting more and more toxic.
And I think everybody agrees that that's not good, that that's bad. So where are we going to find a solution to this?
Well, we control the power to that, but it's what do voters reward? First of all, half the people in the country on average don't even vote. Minnesota's better than that. You know, 60-70% of the people vote depending on the year and the election. But remember, you know, we're in charge as a group. And the politicians, the news media, and others are delivering to the voters or the viewers what they think we want. And if we want to change this, then we have to reward something other than increasing nuttiness.
We have to vote for people that want to compromise, that think it's okay to
negotiate. Or at least reward thoughtfulness or reward policy or reward something
respect.
Other than name-calling and hysterical rhetoric on
That's
both
fair.
Sides.
That's fair. Okay, thank you for that. And now you guys are up to date. Governor's been, you know, watching a lot of Prices Right in the morning. That's what he's doing. When he's not rollerblading.
Darn good at it.
That's right. He's good at it now. So, but of course,
I spend inordinate amount of time getting ready for my fantasy football season. So I've been doing that, you know, more than is probably healthy.
There you go. We might have to live stream that also. I might have to take a look at that. And speaking of that, we're live streaming our show on Facebook, so you can take a look at the governor. He and I are in the studio with Dan Cook. Looking at all the news of the day, and we have done 2 hours of radio together, so we've covered quite a bit. But there's this other story about parents, and you're a parent, I'm a parent, not prepared for how a child affects their career and finances. Now, how old are you comfortable saying how old the girls are?
Yeah, they're young adults. One just turned 23, the other is 26. And so these are young adults now, but still went through this phase. And, you know, the theme of the article you mentioned is parents really are not thinking ahead about how costly raising children. It makes total common sense, but it's one of those things that may be obvious, but you don't plan properly for it. And I looked this up. The U.S. Department of Agriculture indicates that it, on average, not including college, it costs $233,000 to raise a child from birth to age 18. I mean, that's a quarter
insane.
Almost a quarter of $1 million.
I would be so rich if I didn't have three kids.
Maybe one of the reasons that birth rates are falling. I don't know.
This statement brought to you by Jordana Greene's Mother of the Year Award.
The Mother of the Year Award gets lost in the mail every year, Governor. I don't know if you're aware of that.
But it's gotten so intense. This article indicates that 63%, so nearly two-thirds of the survey participants, which are parents, said they have been forced to change jobs or make a career move because of unexpected costs related to childhood.
Because diapers are expensive. Those wipes are expensive. Those butts are not going to clean themselves. I do remember like coming out of the Costco when my kids were little, just with mounds of stuff that is expensive that I know is going to get used up in a week.
Yeah.
You know, and your kids are young adults now. So you, I imagine when you had them, you're like, okay, you know, 18 or post-college, they're going to be on their own. They'll be launched, that kind of thing. Is that the trend of parenting now, or are kids still on the mom and dad dime?
I think all the data for children who are trying to move from, you know, adolescence to adulthood, that transition period, I think, is still very expensive.
Much longer
for
than
many
18.
Parents. It's longer. It's still expensive. And, you know, there's a variety of ways people can help. Hopefully, if you have the resources, it's a good way to spend your money to help your children.
Right.
I think this also, though, stepping back from just this, reflects something else, which is our whole society is not as financially aware as they should be, and we need, I think, as a society to value financial education more than perhaps some other things. I know it's always crowded in school curriculums. They say we don't have room for it, but you know, you really have a hard time in life if you don't know how to understand basic finances, planning, budgeting, how to even think about a budget, what goes into a budget, how does that compare to your earnings or potential earnings. You know, that is a lot of people who are young adults even are ill-equipped to understand that. And then, of course, there's just a resource problem. Something like 40 or 50% of the entire American population doesn't have the funds or the resources to pay for even a $500 emergency if it came up, whether it be healthcare, car, or something else. So there's a lot of issues under the hood here, but obviously this one is focused on the cost of raising children.
Yeah, and I do think it is shocking because nobody goes to price out diapers or price out even a nanny. Or a lot of times you don't price out daycare until you need it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, oh my gosh, really $500 a week? That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And some are cheaper, of course, and then there's some are, that are much more expensive. You know, if you have a live-in nanny or something, that could be somebody who has like a salary.
Yeah, the average nanny cost, now this is national, is almost $600 a week, $596 a week for a nanny. A little less costly if you go to a daycare center. That's about $213, but still. Every week, especially
it's
if you have several children, that's a lot.
I've done all of the above because I've always been a working mom, although I was out of work for many years during the recession. For me, that was bad, but whatever. I got to be home with my kids. So we've done daycare. We've done, you know, like our synagogue. We've had live-in folks. And now I'm thinking my kids are older. My oldest is getting her license at the end of the summer, which I can't wait for because at this point in my life, I still spend, and I'll give you the number, $250 a week for somebody to schlep my kids around. Like, it's a driver. It's not even a nanny anymore because they're 16, 14, and 12 at the end of the summer. And they don't need a babysitter anymore. They can make their own food. They can do their own homework. But they need a driver. Like, literally, it's a driver.
Do you feel comfortable letting them go on Uber by themselves?
See, it's funny that you say that. Just this past year with a 15-year-old, there have been one or two incidents where her dad and I were like, oh, we're stuck. We need to get her from point A to point B. She has to Uber.
Yeah.
And she has.
Yeah.
And, although they're not supposed to take anyone under 16, but she's close enough. So now the oldest one, the little ones, I wouldn't.
Right.
So I have to have this cadre of babysitters, but they're not full time. I can't afford them. So I have like a bench. I have like four people that I call in a panic. Can you go get this one? Can you get this one? And thankfully, we have a network. It takes a village. But it still costs me $250 a week on average for the driving.
And then you think about it, you know, there's this app I've heard, Tackle, and people.
Yeah,
you can
sure.
hire people to do miscellaneous jobs. But these are your children. So it's not like getting your, you know, driveway resurfaced.
Right.
You're putting your children into the care of somebody. And then you got to, what, do a background check?
Well, that's it. You can't just, like Uber, it's not like fire them up on an app and send them off in the car. I can't wait for the day for self-driving cars.
That's coming.
Will be the best. A car will just show up. A little robot will take them where they want to go. And that, I mean, she's going to get her license at the end of the summer, God willing. So that'll be a load off me. But then gas insurance. I'm thinking it's a savings. It is not a savings, my friend. So it is. We are overwhelmed with the expenses of children. And I think you're right about financial education. Best Prep here locally is an organization that teaches financial literacy in the schools. And I cannot support them enough.
Yeah, and I wish that we could do it more. And some states have mandated in their school curriculum. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, I don't think, has. But, you could tie it into the classes that already exist. So if you're teaching math already, have some of the exercises be in the context of a financial exercise.
Yeah.
And that would help.
Or this is how much money you need for a mortgage. This is what some of these salaries pay, post-college or pre-college, if you don't go to college. I just think a real-world education would help a lot with these expectations.
Understanding credit, managing credit, understanding interest how damaging it can be if you've got to pay compounding interest at high rates, double-digit rates on credit cards, and much more.
It's funny that you say that, and I know we're out of time, so we're going to take a quick break. But I just said to my kid's dad, we need to get my old one a credit card. And he's like, that's crazy. I said, no. In fact, this is how my dad, Jeff Green, head rules of finance, taught us. Like, he would put our name on one of their credit cards, obviously with a limit, or it was only used for gas, or for emergencies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helped us build good credit.
Yeah.
So by the time I got out of college, I had good credit because he was paying the bill every month and I was using it minimally, but it had my name on it. And maybe that's a trick, but it also is a conversation about this is what you're spending. This is, and you got to pay it off every month.
That was my first credit card too, which is an Amoco credit. Nobody else would give me credit.
Yes, and it was an Amoco.
I go get $10 of gas and I'd try to pay it off on an installment plan.
Well, you got to do what you got to do, but those are hard lessons if you get in trouble, but good ones if you have somebody guiding you along the way.
Absolutely.
We won't get too caught off guard. Hopefully we'll do a better job.
That's right.
All right, it's 5:21. So there were chants of send her back for our Minnesota House of Representatives, Ilhan Omar. So what does Governor Tim Pawlenty think of that? His response next. What you're listening to is a crowd at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport just moments ago when Ilhan Omar arrived back here in Minnesota, and you could hear the chants of welcome home, Ilhan. As divisive as she is, Minnesotans voted her in, and some of them love her. There were different chants last night, by the way, as President Trump had a rally, and those sounded like this. Those are chants of send her back that President Trump allowed to go on anywhere from 10 to 13 seconds before he continued his remarks. And those chants are the ones getting a lot of play in the media today. And it is, well, for me, I mean, it's horrifying to hear them, anyone chanting that about an American citizen. I just think it's horrifying. And I say on the radio all the time, I can't believe this, I can't believe that. I should be desensitized to this already because we have become so divided and we have become hateful and we have become intolerant. And if we were xenophobic, we are more so now. And hearing that, somebody who's a second generation person is really troubling as an American.
Yeah. And
what do you
think,
Governor?
Well, first of all, I'd say no one comes to this discussion with unclean hands.
Nope,
and so
for
those who want to cast aspersions one way or the other, we should just say that, including Representative Omar, who by her own admission and certainly by the allegation of many others and have concerns, including me, she's been anti-Semitic. And so you know, and other things as well that have been very provocative and inflammatory. So she has to be accountable and own that. And then as to the chant, there, as I said earlier, there is no place for that. And Congressman Emmer said the same thing. And when you're an American citizen, a U.S. citizen, and we should not have people chanting, send him or her back, send you back, send mm-hmm. me back. We are all descendants of immigrants, unless you're a Native American, and we do not want and should not tolerate the notion that we're going to send our fellow citizens back to where they came from, because mm-hmm. that directly or indirectly relates to all of us and all of our ancestors.
It certainly does.
And it's also ugly, mm-hmm. and it raises ugly chapters of American history. And that phrase in particular has historic echoes that are extremely ugly. So the really unfortunate, should be no place for that in our politics. But it, we also need to say to Representative Omar, then lead by example. Mm-hmm. And knock off the BS on your side.
Mm-hmm. And you, the, what you're referring to, and thank you
and
for your
thoughts
on that.
And by the president said today he was not happy with it. And some would say, well, he didn't do enough at the time. Mm-hmm. Well, better late than never.
Okay, but I would say he didn't do enough at the time. I hear what you're saying, but he did not do enough at the time, unlike the situation we had here in Minnesota with John McCain, who shut down a woman in the crowd who wanted to cast dispersions upon Barack Obama when he was... That
yes.
was well done, like a patriot, and somebody who, you know, what wanted to tell the truth.
Yeah, and I was traveling with John mm-hmm. McCain that day. I think I introduced him at that Lakeville event. I was mm-hmm. sitting in the first or second row when it all happened. I think the woman who said it was just feet from me. And that was an example of somebody stepping in and yes. saying, look, as a person who's trying to be a public servant, an example,
right.
I'm going to referee this. I'm going to take right. hits if I have to, but I'm going to referee this and shut it down.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for that kind of courage in John McCain. We need to see more of it in all of us today. And so, again, an ugly episode, and we can all learn from it and hopefully make sure the chances of it happening again are greatly reduced or eliminated.
And now that Representative Omar is back, I hope she'll come on the show, because I would like to ask her the question about the new resolution she's put forth, a pro-boycott resolution, which is an anti-Israel, anti-Semitic resolution. She is in full support of BDS, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement against Israel, which is an anti-Semitic movement that seeks the destruction of Israel. And she has put a new amendment for a pro-boycott, pro-BDS amendment. So I hope that she comes on the show, because I would love to ask her about why she is doing this when so many in her district, I live in her district, have written letters, have called her many times, have invited her on the media, have asked for answers about this. So I do hope she'll come on the show now that she's back.
Yeah, think about that. Just in terms of the in my view, again, nutty nature of it, Israel, a democracy, one of our best allies in the world, stands shoulder to shoulder with us in one of the toughest neighborhoods, regions in the world.
The only democracy there.
Under incredibly difficult circumstances. And, you know, to have a sitting member of Congress say we're going to have a resolution that essentially is interpreted and applied as boycotting Israel, mm-hmm. to me is really uncalled for and bizarre. But so let's debate the merits of it. You know, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope she comes on the show and explains it.
I hope she does. Absolutely. Now that she is back. It's also 5:31. When we get back, a California city is voting to regender manholes. You heard me. Regender manholes. Are they going to call them woman holes? Find out next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's 5:38. Jordana here, sitting next to Governor Tim Pawlenty. Still not calling him Tim.
We're working towards that.
I'm working on it, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
He'll be joining me again tomorrow from 3 to 6, so maybe I'll do better tomorrow. You can watch us on the Facebook live stream today and chime in on Facebook. So, Governor, what do you think about this? A California city has voted to ban gender-specific words in its city code and replace them with gender-neutral options. I'll give you an example, okay? This is Berkeley. Of course, it's California. A manhole is no longer a manhole. It will become a maintenance hole. Are we cool with it?
You know, even though it's Berkeley, even though it's the one of the more liberal
yep.
places in the country,
yep. Yep.
I actually think this is a good change. And the reason is, as the father of two daughters, I am very sensitive. And it's just somebody who's trying to be more aware around these issues.
Good
I don't want to see the signs that say men at work. I don't want to see any indication that it is a man-only area.
Okay.
Because that's not the society we live in anymore. And so some people might look at that and go, oh, you know, who cares? It's stupid. We're too sensitive. And I sort of understand that, of course. But, you know, anything that is just about he, all the history around him, he, man, this, man, that, let's just make it gender neutral. I think that's the right thing to do. It sends the right message and it's fair.
I like how evolved you are about that. Look at that. Thinking out of the box. I love that. No, I think that's terrific. I'm glad you said that. By the way, some of the other words that they're changing, the manpower is no longer going to be manpower. I should make you guess what it's going to be.
Person power.
I like that. I like person power. It's going to be human effort.
Human effort.
Or workforce. Workforce is another one. Policeman is no longer going to be policeman.
Police officer.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Police officer. Craftsmen are no longer going to be craftsmen.
Craftspeople.
There you go. Craftspeople. Yeah. Exactly. Or artisans, they say. They say sorority and fraternity would change to collegiate Greek system residents. Oh, gosh. No, now we're getting a little extreme. And then there are specific titles like attorneys or the candidate that really aren't changing at
all. I think that's good. Yeah, I think it's good.
But they say, you know, good. There is power in language.
Yeah.
And if you can make it a little more universal, all the power.
And it sends subtle messages. You know, if you're subjected to that particularly, you know, every day or often, I think it sends a subtle message around, you know, you're excluded or you're not in the picture.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Change is good.
Yeah, it is good.
What you got over there?
Well, what I got over here is something not quite so high-minded, but okay. I think important.
Of course.
So we know the great Minnesota get-together. We have a state of 5.5 million people, almost 2 million, over 2 million people went to the state fair last year. By the way, do you remember the historic great jingle for the state fair, Jordan?
I don't, no. Are you going to sing it?
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be. Can you fill it in? Late.
Don't even be late. I'm sorry. Again, you're talking to someone who grew up in New Jersey. I'm sorry.
Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, donut holes. Who doesn't love them?
Who doesn't?
But in the state fair, now we have a vendor who came up with the great idea that you could buy a generic donut hole. I'm sure very delicious. Mm-hmm. But coming with your donut holes is your personal own syringe.
Right.
That you could then inject the filling of your choice into the donut hole, so you could make your donut hole the flavor that you wish, but you get a syringe that comes with it. Now, guess what the problem is?
What could go wrong with random syringes full of custard around the state fair? I don't see anything wrong with that.
So, you know, some people, as you might imagine, said this. You know, do we really need a syringe for every donut hole sold at the state fair? Because if you do the math on that, it's going to create mounds and mounds and mounds of plastic waste. And they started a petition to get the vendor and the fair to back down on this, and they did.
Eco-friendly thing.
So your ability to have injectable donut holes at the fair just went out the window.
So I can't – that's it? We're bagging the whole injectable donuts?
It appears that way. Yeah.
Are we even having donut holes? Are they going to inject for us? Donut holes are still available,
which I think you're going to have to pick ahead of time
what
kind you want. Yeah.
Again,
and by the way, the name of it is the Wing Walker Donut Flight.
As the owner of a 13-year-old boy, I did think the syringes full of jelly and custard, I thought maybe something would go awry with that. I could see some custard fights.
Flight ideas are a good idea, I think. Yeah. You know, there's a brew pub not long away from here where they had a bacon flight. So we had cold beer and bacon on a flight together, paired together.
Paired.
Isn't that awesome?
Each beer had its own bacon?
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
That sounds fun. Yeah, beer and bacon, right? What could be better than that?
Bacon literally makes everything better.
There you go.
Everything.
Even beer. I think there's a bacon-flavored beer probably at the state fair.
No syringes.
Before you get to another state fair story, I have an update on a story that I talked about on this show a few weeks back. There was a judge in New Jersey who refused to try a 16-year-old boy who was accused of rape as an adult because he, quote, comes from a good family. I mean, Governor, this was a horrible story. This was a 16-year-old boy who raped or is accused of raping a girl who was 15 or 16 years old, and he videotaped the incident and sent it to his friends with the caption, "When your first time is rape." She confronted him, but she was passed out at a party at the time. So she was completely incapacitated. She sensed something was awry the next day as she had bruises on her body. She confronted him. He lied about it and continued to send around the video. Well, the judge said, well, the boy comes from a good family. His grades are really good. He could actually go to college. So no, I'm not going to try him as an adult. Well, the judge got death threats. He got death threats after word got out. People were calling him a bigot and a detriment to the company. Well, he got the axe Wednesday. That's it. He is now stepping down. I'm sorry. He has decided that he was going to step down. But by the way, and I don't know what's going on in New Jersey. And I think for the people of New Jersey who currently live there, you are better off with Judge Troiano not on the bench for you. By the way, another Superior Court judge in New Jersey also got the axe on Wednesday because that judge asked a rape victim in 2016 whether she tried to keep her legs closed during the assault. Mm. I mean, the disrespect around sexual assault and rape is out of hand, as evidenced by my podcast, Deny Justice, and of course, the Star Tribune, amazing reporting on that series. And to hear these things happening in the last few years is astounding to me.
And we should say for the listeners, Jordana has been nominated for a Marconi Award. We said this earlier, but I'll say it
fishing.
Again. I know we're running out of time.
I wasn't fishing.
But the National Association of Broadcasters has nominated that very podcast, the one you mentioned, for a Marconi Award, very prestigious award.
Very kind.
So people want to learn more about the failures of our system, including dumb judges saying dumb things like that, then this podcast would be a great way to learn more about it.
It shines a light on instances like this that clearly need to be mirrored. Thank you for that.
Yes.
That plug, I appreciate it.
I know we got to go quick, but there's one story out of southwestern Minnesota where a deputy sheriff pulled his vehicle in front of a runaway school bus. The school bus driver had a small school bus, mm-hmm. a medical problem, and the bus was out of control. And with the help of a passerby, a civilian, this deputy got in front of the bus and put his brakes on and was able to get the bus to come to a halt without more damage. And that deputy was Eric Dykeman. And so what a great hero.
What a hero.
Yeah.
God, quick thinking, too. I would not know what to do. That's very scary.
We need to appreciate our men and women in law enforcement.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you bringing that in. It's 5:46. That's a Wixon Jewelers time check. Wixon Jewelers, looking for the perfect gift? You can visit the experts at Wixon and shop an unmatched collection of jewelry that's designed to last a lifetime. Great night for a baseball game, right? No rain delays like we had yesterday, and that did not serve us well against the Mets. Jordana here with Governor Tim Pawlenty sitting in with me, and you'll be back tomorrow. Are you going to come back?
You're blaming it on the rain delay?
Well,
the Mets didn't have a rain delay?
I'm looking for an excuse
right.
for that poor performance.
Yeah.
But the governor will be back with me tomorrow. But on the phone with us now is Eric Nelson. Eric is going to head out to Target Field very soon, and he is also filling in for Henry Lake tonight. So stay tuned for final pitch with Eric Nelson after the game. But hey, Eric.
Hey, Jordana. Hey, Governor.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Good.
Should I be worried? 1-4 against Oakland, and Oakland's playing well.
Oakland is playing very well. They've won 6 in a row and 12 of their last 14. In fact, in their last 24 games, they're 19-5. If you remember, the Twins during the July 4th stretch went out to Oakland and lost a couple of games in 3 tries. So the A's are a team that typically gets hot in the second half, and we're seeing that now. And they're only 4.5 games behind Houston in the American League West. So the stakes are very high for the A's and the Twins in this series.
Eric, the I told you so crowd is out saying they wish they made a trade earlier. The trade deadline's coming up in 2 weeks. It sounds like, you know, it's high likelihood something's going to happen. How do you see it? And do you hear any rumors that we can, you know, put out there?
Yeah, I could see something happening, clearly, Governor. Now, the only caveat is there are other teams like the Twins who are looking for help. I don't think it's any great revelation that the Twins are looking for pitching, perhaps in the bullpen, certainly in that starting rotation. You can never have enough of it. You hear names like Madison Bumgarner and Zach Greinke, even Max Scherzer in Washington. There's a closer in San Francisco, Will Smith. You know, what is fact, what is fiction? That's what's always interesting at this point in time. I think what both of you need to know, though, and the listeners need to know is July 31st is a hard trading deadline. In the past, you could make moves after July 31st, but not this year. So if you don't get it done in 13 days or so, then what you have is what you get.
So what would you have to give up if you got a Bumgarner, say a, you know, B plus, A minus, middle reliever, or a starter? What do you think the Twins are willing to give up?
Yeah, I'm sure you know the Twins have coveted prospects down in the minor leagues, Alex Kirilloff being one of them. Nobody wants to see him go. You've got guys, you know, on the MLB roster, La Tortuga, Williams Austin Dio could be a chip. How about Luis Arraez? He has certainly been impressive. A lot of guys and teams might be interested in Miguel Sano. Jake Cave could be a guy. I think from the Twins' perspective is, yeah, what are we willing to part with? And the Twins have always tried to, you know, protect their future and not mortgage tomorrow. But there's another line of thinking, and that would be, hey, the future is now.
Exactly.
We have a good thing going and maybe a chance to get this thing into October and do something special.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you're the best. You'll be over at the field soon, and you are filling in for Henry Lake. So stay tuned for Eric Nelson for Final Pitch, and he loves to take your calls, so make sure you call in. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Have a great show.
And again, pregame here on CCO Radio is 6:30, first pitch at 7:10, and then, of course, final pitch after the final pitch. I cannot predict any times on that with Eric Nelson tonight. So you're coming back tomorrow, and we will search the archives of WCCO Radio to find the time that you ticked off Sid and hear him yelling at you.
I may have to do a little cyber hacking tonight into the CCO server.
Yeah, you might. We're going to be looking for that. Maybe some best of moments for the governor.
Or worst of. Might be one involving
ones.
The Minnesota Wild hockey game.
Oh, there you go. And maybe we'll hear a little more about that fantasy football league. You know, he referenced it twice on the show today. So I'm hinting he wants to do a fantasy football segment. Thank you for joining us, Governor. A pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow back at 3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.